until we meet again.
Hello, my good friend and neighbor. This is Phil Nee, and I'll be back your way with some community conversation next hour on The Morning Show, right here from WRCO-FM in Richland Center, Wisconsin. The 9 o'clock update is sponsored by Pamela's Fine Jewelry, enhancing the relationships with those you love, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including legendary pizza, bowling, and video games.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A ceasefire deal between Israel and Hezbollah in southern Lebanon appears to be holding those who had been displaced by fighting or returning to their homes. The U.S. brokered truce does not address the war in Gaza. The nation's economy growing at a healthy 2.8% annual pace in the third quarter, the Commerce Department releasing GDP numbers this morning. Police say organized criminal groups are stealing FedEx deliveries of new AT&T iPhones. Here's ABC's Chuck Sievertson.
More of the thieves are getting violent, says a law enforcement bulletin obtained by ABC News. Police are trying to figure out how the crooks are getting cell phone tracking and delivery location information so they can grab the iPhones from delivery drivers or the customers. The bulletin says thieves are posing as delivery people using DoorDash bags and wearing Amazon or construction vests.
Some companies, including Walmart and Best Buy, say they will pass on higher costs to consumers if President-elect Trump's tariff threats on goods from Mexico, China, and Canada go into place. A social media influencer busted by her own social media. Here's ABC's Jim Ryan.
In looking for evidence against 22-year-old Marlena Velez, prosecutors need only log on to TikTok, says Mercedes Phillips of the Cape Coral, Florida Police Department.
She posted a video that day of herself going to Target, buying these items, and then taking them home with her.
$500 worth of items, but having scanned false barcodes with lower prices. On her TikTok page, Marlena says, quote, "We all make mistakes, and it's how we learn and grow." She faces charges of petty theft. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Australian lawmakers taking a big step toward banning kids under 16 from social media. The Australian House passing that bill today. It's expected to be approved by the Senate. After winning the World Series, another win for the Los Angeles Dodgers. The team picking up Cy Young award-winning pitcher Blake Snell. The deal reportedly 5 years worth $182 million. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Good morning, this is Pamela at Pamela's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Spring Green. Pamela's Black Friday sale will start Friday at 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. For Small Business Saturday, it is 9 to 5, Sunday 11 to 3, and Monday 10 to 5. And we will feature our fun Black Balloon Pop Sale. Find a perfect balloon and save 10 to 50% off of your purchase. It's a great time to shop for the holidays at Pamela's in beautiful downtown Spring Green.
The best place to catch a Friday night fish dinner is the Phoenix Center. Dine in or carry out delicious deep fried or baked fish. Fish is served from 4 to 8 p.m. Fridays only. The Phoenix Center serves food and fun every day. The pizza is out of this world, and after a great meal, make it an even better night with a game of bowling. The Phoenix Center is family fun at its best, open at 11 a.m. Monday through Sunday. The Phoenix Center, this area's go-to spot for good times and great food.
Thanks to the Schultz Mortgage Team for sponsoring WRCO Hometown Weather Watch. Call 608-738-8765 to learn how you can buy a home with less than 20% down.
A high in the middle to upper 30s today, partly to mostly cloudy skies. East to northeast winds at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, a few clouds and chilly with a low of 21. Thanksgiving Day, some morning sun and clouds filling in. A touch breezy and cooler, a high of 30. Thursday night, breezy and cold with stray flurries possible, a low of 16. Friday, partly sunny, breezy and rather cold with a high of 23.
Hello, this is Nick Hodge with the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Richland Center in Muscadet. Thinking about your loved one's funeral leaves most people feeling a little uneasy, but pre-planning funerals offers great emotional and even financial security for you and your family. With pre-planning, families find comfort in knowing that the funeral reflects what their loved one wanted. It also gives them peace of mind not having to make important decisions at a stressful time.
A Kubota tractor will help you get all those jobs done fast and easy. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteader Store. Kubota is known for their high-quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors. They have hydrostatic transmissions, loaders, and three points. They offer great financing. You can go to our website where you can watch a short video where I go through the different sizes of Kubota tractors to fit your needs. Learn about the full line of Kubota tractors at Southern Wisconsin Tractor Experts, the Homesteader Store.
Here's a hint. At U.S. Cellular, you can get four free phones and four lines for $90 a month. So you can give your family the gift of connection.
Okay, but what about the gift of good-smelling soap?
They buy their own soap. They want four free phones.
What if I gave them kitchen tools?
Four free phones.
Well, how about a cozy sweater?
Four free phones.
Maybe I'll get...
Four free phones.
Four free phones.
That's how you take a hint. Get four free phones and four lines for $90 a month. U.S. Cellular. Built for us. Terms apply. Visit uscellular.com for details.
Hello from the Creative Outlet. Our Small Business Friday and Saturday sale is 50% off all individual scrapbooking papers.
Welcome to the morning show on WRCO Radio. In the first part, we're going to have some fun with a scary hunting story. Joining us in the studio is Jane Piotrowski, who is a local children's author now that she's published her first book. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning, Phil. How are you today?
I am great. Good to have you in the studio here. So is writing a children's book, has that been kind of a lifelong passion for you?
Oh, absolutely. I've been writing and telling stories since I was as little as can be.
Wow. So this one, how long have you had this one in your noggin, so to speak?
I actually wrote this one back in 2018, and it's just kind of taken this long to get it out and published and put together for the public.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm actually living here in Richland Center, and I have two little boys and my husband, and we actually, we all pretty much work at Lamer's Bus Line in Spring Green. I drive bus, and I am working in the office throughout the day.
You have a love for the outdoors, though, I understand.
Oh, absolutely. I have a passion for being out in the great outdoors. I try and get out in the woods as much as possible. I'm not a hunter myself, but my husband is. We do a lot of outdoor shed hunting for antlers and mushroom hunting and ginsenging. We just try and be out as much as we possibly can as an entire family.
What's the connection with the state of Alaska?
We have a homestead in Alaska. We actually just purchased a year and a half ago, and we went up there for a while, and it was an amazing experience, and I can't wait to get back there.
Awesome. The weather, what is it like right now this time of year?
Actually, my husband just got back from Alaska, and he said it was about negative 10 the last day he was up there, and they had well over 10 inches of snow at our homestead, and just as nice as can be. He said the humidity there is a lot better than here. He said, you know, the weather that we have here has bitten right through them, but 10 below up there is just perfect because there's no humidity. It's really nice and relaxing up there.
Oh, I'm sure. So my scary hunting story is the name of the book. I know that you first got it copyrighted a few years ago, but what did it feel like to get that first copy in hand?
Oh, my goodness. It was a dream come true. An absolute dream come true. I've been working on this book. I actually ended up putting it on the back burner for a few years because we were running a farm and just working and working. And then finally I had the opportunity and I just said, I need to do this. And so I did it.
It's been kid tested. Tell me about the reactions from the children that you've read it to.
Lots of laughs. The ending is the best part about the book. Every kid I've ever read it to, they enjoy reading it themselves too. It's one of those books that you can use your funny hunting voice to bring it to life. It's just a fun book to bring to life itself.
Kids love to hear stories read to them, but they also love to look at the pictures. Can you tell me about the illustrations?
The illustrations tell the full story. You open up the book and, I mean, the illustrator did an amazing job. Katrina Susiani. She was just an amazing illustrator. Unfortunately, she passed away a couple years ago due to COVID. It was a very devastating loss for me because I have other books that I wanted her to illustrate. But there's some amazing, amazing illustrators out there, too, that are willing to help me with my other ones.
It really comes to life, though, and when people pick up the book, they'll know what I'm talking about. But the pictures just, they really pop out, don't they?
Yes, they do. Yeah. Yep, I chose the illustrator for the reason I really like the watercolor illustrations is what she did. She did it all by hand and did a really amazing job.
Well, would you be so kind to read it for us here this morning?
Absolutely. I will read it in my funny hunting story voice.
Okay.
All right.
Very good. Jane Piotrowski, My Scary Hunting Story.
I'm a big hunter. How do you do? I got a scary hunting story that I got to tell you. So I was hunting in the woods late one night when a pack of wild beasts came running into sight. Now they were also big, just like a Godzilla, but hairy all over, just like a gorilla. So I watched them pass one after another, and to my surprise, the last one was my mother. With razor-sharp teeth and big red eyes and a halo over her head made by fruit flies. Now I should have known it was her as she started to get close, because I tell you what, friends, she didn't smell like no eggs and no toast. As my eyes started to water and my nose started to run, I thought to myself, hey, I'm a big guy, and I kill big deer. I shouldn't be shaking with a mortal fear. Now, I know what you're thinking. I shouldn't be scared of my mother. But only I know what happened to my brother. She caught them off guard. It was a total surprise. Then all that were left were her two brown eyes. So I gotta be strong, and I gotta be a winner, or else I'm going to be my mother's next dinner. And you better believe she'll be on the hunt for more, but you won't see her trotting through the local store. Because she likes to stay hidden as can be, except for when Patterson caught her on TV. Now that didn't make her happy. In fact, it made her mad. And I think that's why she went after my dad. Now, my dad was a good guy, as good as a dad could be. Anytime he would see her coming, he would tell me to hide in a tree. And then one day it happened. My dad was no longer there. Although I searched for days, I could only find some hair. So if you don't see me next year by the lake, you'll know what happened. I became a steak. Now that is my scary story for this year. And if you see her coming, you better run with fear. Because if she don't catch you and kill you, her looks just might. I tell you from experience, she's not a pretty sight. And now you know why I had to stay put. And you would too if your mother was Bigfoot. Thank you.
Good stuff. And the radio audience can't see the illustration, but there is his mother. It's Bigfoot. And she even has lipstick on, I believe.
She sure does.
That's a female Bigfoot. And sure enough, fruit flies flying around.
Like I said, I really love the illustrations that she did. She was an amazing illustrator.
Mm. Yeah, that'd be rough if your mother was Bigfoot, I think.
Yeah, it sure would be, I think. Yeah, I had a lot of walking through the woods coming up with this one.
I bet. Yeah, your inspiration. So are you a fan of scary stories, too?
Yes, I am. And my three-year-old now, he is a huge fan of Bigfoot and cryptid stuff. So like I was saying, I have a couple other books that are going to be coming out. One next year, hopefully, I can find the right illustrator to do it. And that one's going to be another blast to be reading on the radio.
Can you let us in on what the titles may be of your next books?
Yes, I actually, I'm coming up with, there's my crazy fishing story. Mm-hmm. And then another one that's going to be camping, but I haven't quite figured out what that one is. So, but that will be fun.
Yeah, that will. So again, outdoor stories. Where do the ideas pop up? Where do they come to you at?
Usually in the strangest times. I'm just like, oh, this is funny. Just coming up with like in the book how the mother with the fruit flies, you know, what would be funnier, you know, having you got your red eyes, your sharp teeth. Hey, fruit flies flying over her head. Make it, you know, fun, not just for me, but for everybody else.
Indeed. Children can really use their imagination, can't they?
Absolutely. And that's what it's all about, is making the children laugh, and myself too. And that's something that I've always, you know, done when I'm writing stories. I try to make myself laugh. If I'm going to laugh during it, I'm guaranteed somebody else is probably going to laugh too.
Teachers will tell you how they can almost tell which kids have been read to at home, you know, because they just, I don't know, they're better readers, probably can learn to read better and things like that, but also imaginations and everything else.
Oh, yeah, so. Absolutely. That goes a long ways when you're reading to a child and you can bring their imaginations to life. They don't need pictures. And like this book, you really don't need the pictures to bring the book to life, because it really just speaks for itself.
You developed the deer hunter accent there a little bit too, didn't you?
Yep. Yeah. I like that accent. I think it's a fun accent to have. And that's kind of where I got the inspiration, is, you know, his voice is where I bring to life this book. The fishing story, that one's going to be a little different. So I really can't wait for that one to come out.
The storyteller in here, then, are we to assume that it's a baby Bigfoot then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, right. At the end.
We never see his picture.
Nope. He stays hidden as could be. Except for when Patterson catches you on TV.
And who's Patterson? Just someone?
James Patterson. He's the one that caught Patty on film, if you know anything about Bigfoot.
Oh, okay.
Back in the 1960s, he was the first one to...
Okay, did not know that. So you got a little history involved here as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, yep. I try and find something to really bring the book to life, and it's going to be a lot of fun to be able to read this to other people.
It always fascinates me, because I've always had a thought that I should write a children's book.
And you should.
You know, like children's experiences and things like that. I'm always telling a story about this mean rooster we had. You know, and I'm always thinking Speckled Pete would be a good subject for a book. But then I don't want to make it too scary for the children either. So there's somewhat of a fine line there, isn't there?
Oh, like with this one, I read it to many children. You know, some people would think, you know, a mom coming after her kid and, you know, what's left of her is two brown eyes. You know, that might be a little scary. But, you know, when kids put their imagination in, it's not scary. Uh-huh. There's a lot more bad things that's going on. And, it's just a funny rhyming story. If you can make it funny in some sort, then that's what the key is.
When you write these stories, you put them down then, do you test them on your own children then?
Oh, absolutely. My kids, and I've done some book readings at other schools too, and they really seem to enjoy not only me reading it, but then being able to read it themselves. I've, you know, had kids that are just sitting and listening, all right, do you want to come up and read? And they really enjoy doing that too. And using their voices.
That's awesome, you know, and reading out loud, and it's mm-hmm. kind of a lost art sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Sometimes it can be kind of scary to try and get up and read out loud, but, you know, having support and just knowing that you can do it, you know, having faith is huge.
People couldn't see it, but you were actually reciting the story. You weren't actually reading it. I was impressed by that, too.
Yeah, I've read it enough times where I know the book by heart.
So where can people get My Scary Hunting Story if they'd like to pick up a copy?
Well, Oak Hooch Bookstore here in town, they have it. Other than that, on Amazon or, let's see, other websites. I know Amazon is selling it, and Barnes & Noble, they're also selling it too. And I actually do have another book reading at Barnes & Noble come the first of the year. It's called Bringing in the New Year. So that will be a fun book reading. And I'll have my stand up there in Madison. So that will be a lot of fun to do.
That's awesome. I've been there a couple of times when they've had book readings. You got a big area there. That's got to be a fun time to get up in front of an audience and do that, isn't it?
Oh, it's a blast. It really is. And I also have somebody that's working on doing a video for this book, because I've heard from other people that it should be like a short video and maybe put it on Facebook or other websites, do a TikTok video or something of it. So I have somebody that's working on a video, and a couple different people have offered to do the voice for My Scary Hunting Story. So
wonderful.
That would be fun.
If you need somebody to play Bigfoot, we've got some people around the radio station here that probably could fit the bill.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, thanks for coming in and sharing your story today.
Thank you.
This
and you
fun.
Have a great day.
You bet. Nice to meet you, Jane.
And
come back when you get your next children's book. We'd love to have you on the air again. So.
Thank you. I definitely will do that.
Jane Piotrowski, look for it. It's called My Scary Hunting Story. And again, available locally at Okuch Books and Libations. It's a great one for kids of all ages.
Back in 1974, twin brothers Dan and Don Hartung, just 17, rented 40 acres to grow corn. They borrowed equipment and rallied the family to help, turning their first harvest into something much bigger. Now, the following year, the Hartung Brothers, Inc. was born. From those early days of custom farming, their commitment to meeting local farmers' needs and solving challenges quickly grew them from 40 acres to 800 acres in a single year. Today, Hartung Brothers continues to innovate and grow, rooted in family values and dedicated to helping farmers succeed.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Lynette at the Prescription Center. Our new store at 930 Sexonville Road is great. We have room, windows, and the same friendly people. Thank you to all who have continued to allow us to care for you. Please remember to check when you register with your provider that the Prescription Center is your preferred pharmacy. At our new location, we are now able to be pet friendly. If you are riding with your pet, please bring them in. We would love to meet them. It is Part D time again. There are lots of changes this year. Large increases in deductibles, the ability for your Part D plan to cover your copays, so January is not so expensive, and changes to cover drugs. It is important that you check your coverage for next year. We will do that for free. We have our drive-up in place, so pull up to the door and call 647-8806. Paul will run or walk your prescription and pet treats out. The Richland Family Prescription Center, where you and your family always come first.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
A Kubota tractor will help you get all those jobs done fast and easy. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteader Store. Kubota is known for their high-quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors. They have hydrostatic transmissions, loaders, and three points. They offer great financing. You can go to our website where you can watch a short video where I go through the different sizes of Kubota tractors to fit your needs. Learn about the full line of Kubota tractors at Southern Wisconsin Tractor Experts, the Homesteader Store.
The half-price sale is happening now at Mr. G's Shoes and Clothing in Richland Center and Viroqua. From today through Sunday, buy any item at the regular or sale price and get a second item of equal or lesser value for half off. Don't miss out on big savings for the whole family on shoes and clothing. Mr. G's is open today through Friday, 9 a.m. to 7:30 p.m., with a sale ending this Sunday. But hurry, special orders and layaways aren't included. Mr. G's Shoes and Clothing, where style meets savings during November.
Choose Mr. G's.
Few traditions are more special than choosing a Christmas tree. For generations, Tom's Trees has been known for quality and value. The tradition continues. Tom's Trees in Muscadet has a great selection of trees, all priced at $40 each, including the large ones. Tom's Trees is open daily from 9 until 6 for the season at 205 South Wisconsin Avenue in Muscadet. Call 608-604-4860. And happy holidays from Tom's Trees.
Don't miss the Black Friday sale going on now at Furniture Decor and More in Boscobel and now open in Westby. Get a sofa love seat set for only $699.99 or save up to $500 with their Black Friday coupons. Plus, all home decor and accessories is 25% off. And don't forget to check out the new products from FlexSteel and the highly rated Nectar mattresses. Shop the Black Friday sale going on now at Furniture Decor and More in Boscobel and Westby. Free financing available. Is your vehicle winter ready? At Cornerstone Service, they know the importance of winter tires for safe driving. Don't wait. Now's the time to order your tires before stock runs out. With expert service and reliable brands, Cornerstone Service has you covered for the season ahead. And in honor of Veterans Day, they're offering a 10% discount for veterans throughout the month of November. Call or stop by Cornerstone Service to prepare your vehicle for winter and thank a veteran with every mile. For top quality post-frame buildings, see Burnham Lumber Company of Rui. Burnham's has been constructing buildings in the tri-state area since 1954. That's 70 years of building experience. Machine sheds, cattle sheds, freestall, an amp, parlor setups, garages, insulated shops, storage and commercial buildings, residential shouses, and much more. All built to your exact needs. Call 943-6323 today to schedule your construction project. Burnham Lumber Company of Rui, recognized by the NFBA and the FBA as an accredited post-frame builder.
Contact D&T Well Service for well service and replacement. Mary and Derek McCormick, owners of D&T Well Service, are insured, and they do new installs and fix existing systems, submersible pumps, booster pumps, and jet pumps. Ask about the constant pressure system that gives you the best pressure and quality water out of your well. Contact D&T Well Service, 606-5596. No pressure, no water, no problem. Call D&T Well Service, 606-5596, serving Southwest Wisconsin. Check them out at dtpumpwell.com.
It's time for the Wisconsin Corn Growers Check-Off Check-In.
Farmer and Corn Promotion Board member Shane Goplin joins us. When you mention corn in all forms, it's not just the grain. Sometimes you're dealing with pork and poultry and beef.
Well, and that's exactly right. You say corn exports. Well, you get raw corn. Yes, we export that to China as a country, no doubt about it. And Colombia is a number four export market for us. And Mexico has always been number one, and Canada as well. We look at the products that are from corn, whether it's ethanol, poultry, cooking ethanol to Africa. There's very diverse markets, and that's where we're fortunate to have organizations like the United States Grains Council that have boots on the ground all over the world. Are the profit levels as much as we would like to see this year? No, absolutely not. But if you could imagine where they would be if we didn't have somebody fighting on our behalf to find new emerging markets.
To learn more about your Wisconsin checkoff programs, visit wicorn.org.
On our morning show today, we switch gears. We're talking about the Ithaca School District and some recent things going on there. In the studio today, we have Mrs. Myra Masters, who's the Spanish teacher at Ithaca High School. We also have Kathleen Shane, elementary principal, a district curriculum director. And we have Marty Richards here today, member of the school board. Marty?
We need to add another title to Kathleen because okay. It sounds like she's not doing enough. Which anybody who knows what Kathleen's up to, that's not all she's doing.
No.
So Kathleen's one busy young lady, and we really appreciate her. So I just want to make sure everybody knows I'm joking.
Thanks, Marty.
Well, the last time we were here, it was all about the referendum, yep. And that passed. And, you know, from that standpoint, it was a great thing for the district.
Right? Yeah. You know, I've been nervous about things before, but I was really nervous about that, Phil, because I don't know if the public and the community really understands. Had that not passed, that would have caused some deep felt pain in many different levels. Fortunately, The voting public of the Ithaca School District, you know, supported that wholeheartedly. Of all the referendums, I kind of checked, and of all the referendums building and operating in Wisconsin, it passed with the highest percentage of support at 68%. We didn't know that was going to happen for sure. It started to feel that way a little bit. We're very appreciative of that. I think it also shows, you know, historically at the Ithaca School District, there's been a lot of community support. And I think what came through, and I kind of heard it in comments, is the Ithaca School District is more than just a school. And in Ithaca, this is, I think, no one would argue with this. It is part of the community. It is ingrained in the community, and the community is that school district. And that's been my experience. I've coached at two other school districts, and I've kind of had a little bit of experience from those districts. And while they have a lot of different positive values of their own, there was always a difference in that, you know, in the 50s, we kind of went through this consolidation of different districts where you had really small, I mean, even one-room schoolhouses that finally consolidated, kind of made the landscape look the way it does now. And there was a little bit of difference where some of those communities were put together into a singular school district. And that identity doesn't always then meld into this one district. At Ithaca, we did put, you know, some different communities together. When you look at Lloyd and Bear Valley, Sextonville had a high school. But they really quickly became one community. And I think people understand that the Ithaca Public School District is very important to the identity and the events overall of what happens in the community. And I will say, from a board perspective, you know, this was step one of about five steps. We need to then also now focus on some other things, and we have other steps planned to make sure for long-time success and existence, quite honestly, that we have good facilities, that we also are attracting new students to the area, and that we are embracing those who are looking for an opportunity like the one Ithaca presents.
It was just in the news, Marty, Mauston, which is 45 minutes away from the Ithaca District, where they're facing some real challenges because they've had two turned down recently.
And I've had, so in my previous career, I had quite a bit of experience with Mauston. It was one of the school districts I worked with, and a really nice administrative team there. Not unlike our area, somewhat agriculturally based. In, you know, they do have some more manufacturing. So I'm a little puzzled by that result, quite honestly, but they're in a bad spot. And that's the reality of operating referendums in this day and age. I think if you had a discussion 25 years ago about an operating referendum, it'd be like, whoa, what's the administration doing, or what's the school board doing? Why are they? And there may have been good reasons to do that at that time, but it was not. You know, there was 180 operating referendums or referendums on this last election. So, I mean, this is a routine thing now to fund public schools that are being run well. So, Mauston, I have a little familiarity with them, and they've made their cuts already. So, for them to exist without another operating referendum, that's rough. That's a rough picture. I don't know how they'll do that. And I did hear an interview with the district administrator on TV the other day, and it was painful. It was hard to hear, because that is just part of financing schools at this time. That's the way school finance is set up, especially for rural schools. If you're an urban or suburban school, you've got plenty of tax base. You've also got a higher density of students to kind of work from or draw from. But in the rural schools, the way the current finance formula is set up in the state, they just are not getting enough money per pupil to operate that school district without feeling financial pain. I always go back to the Ithaca School District is receiving the same amount per pupil from the state of Wisconsin that they did in 2011. Now, if you think about the inflation the last few years and just normal costs, increasing costs from, you know, that many 13 years, you know, ago, How would you run a household on
right.
it? I don't know how you would do that.
And so, salaries and cost of living and everything else.
Well, insurance. You're paying for health insurance. So I guess I really, and I've had a couple of discussions with our local representatives. So you're sitting on $4 billion of taxpayer money that I call the slush fund now. It's the legislative slush fund of taxpayer money that has not been allocated. They do not have a plan for where it's going to go. And there it sits, but yet you have rural schools trying to figure out how to run their school, educate children, and make better, you know, citizens for our communities. I don't understand that. I struggle with that one. Mm-hmm. So, but back to the Mauston example. Ouch. Yeah, I'm very thankful. I'm very relieved, and really I'm excited for the future of Ithaca Schools, because this allows us now to kind of put more long-range plans in place to where we can continue to grow and then bring more students to the school.
Bring Kathleen into the conversation as well. Kathleen, as the referendum passed, I'm guessing, you know, that's a good thing as far as the demeanor of the staff and the students and everything else. I think everybody feels good about it.
Right? Yeah, you know, it was, there was a lot of emotion around coming up to that day because we knew the reality if it did not pass. So as an alumni and as a community member, I want to thank the voters because I know that money is tight all the time, and it seems tighter. So now, you know, with the housing market and rent costs so high, and your interest rate if you buy a home is so high. So I appreciate that they saw that their dollars are well spent at Ithaca. Along with that, though, I wanted to add to it, and I've said it before. You know, Marty mentions 2011. You know, we did not. We had an operating referendum in 2004. We have not had one since. And as I understand it, my limited knowledge, and I think Bill Davis years ago, who helped me understand school finance, Ithaca has always been financially responsible. So if we looked at our budget and said, oh, this is how much we have that we're going to get, this is what we're going to do. Literally, I remember sitting in board meetings and we couldn't make purchase decisions until after October, when the money would come out to be determined what schools were going to receive. So because we were so responsible, we got dinged because you're given money based on how much you spent the year prior. Well, if we always stayed within our means. So each year we'd stay within our means. And so we'd get a little bit less from the state. And that's what led to what happened this year. So I want to thank the voters, but I also want to remind them that going forward, and you know, it's been mentioned about Mauston, public schools are funded by the state regardless if the community has its own. So thankfully, Ithaca community has its own, has local control with this through the school board, but had it failed, voters would still be paying school tax to some other district. So I want to thank the voters because Ithaca has, you know, we began a school in 1855 up at Richards Granary, yep. And I hope we can do another 160 years and that our grandchildren have, you know, can go back to their alumni. The building will be there. It'll be running. But, yeah, so the other part of that, too, that I want voters to know, when it comes to the legislative, you know, we lose dollars that we don't even know where they come from through school voucher. And I learned this year. So school voucher was started by Tommy Thompson years and years ago, 1993, for a good reason. But it's kind of eroded since. And so this year alone, last year alone, Ithaca spent out almost $130,000 for students, families who filled out forms for school voucher, which means that they've selected an approved voucher school, and dollars that would have come to Ithaca had that student enrolled go to that voucher school instead. So those are students that were never told that exist in our district. It's not like they did an open enroll out or anything. It's the process of voucher. So that's a concern of mine, if parents are listening that have chosen to voucher, you know, call me. I'd like to know why. I'd like to know if we can offer what they're seeking. You know, schools are kind of we're a business to please our customers, right? And so if they're not pleased, we want to know. If they don't know about us, come and shop around and come see what we offer.
I think that's important, you know, to kind of take a survey and figure out maybe if there are some things you need to change, you can change. And,
you know, if there's, that's what I tell all my families. Like, if you have a concern, come to us first, right? So the rumor mill can cause problems. So come and let's work through the problem. Let's see if we can find a solution that we both are agreeable to and what's best for students, right? It's always about what's best for students.
And I think that's one of the features of the Ithaca Public School District is we are small enough and we are engaged enough that we do want to serve all the students. And that's a public school. You have to serve all the students. But at our numbers, it's nice because we can identify, oh, here is how we're nimble enough. We can make changes. We can make things happen to serve those that may not be familiar yet. So I love that point. Yes.
Mm-hmm. What are some things you're happy about now that the school's underway? Some things, some wins here in the first few months, Kathleen.
Some wins. Well, you know, we're one thing I like about Ithaca is we're all under one roof. So if I, we have some great program that I started when I became principal. We call it our teaching assistants, and I think I have 25 high school kids that go into the elementary classrooms for various reasons. There's some middle school kids that if their study hall isn't what isn't needed by them, you know, they're efficient at getting their work done, or they don't mind taking some work home to finish, they'll volunteer as well. But that has been super successful. There's several that I'm like, you got to go into teaching. You are really good. Oh, I don't think Mrs. Shane. I'm like, yes, you are really good with kids. And so that to me is a big success. And an offshoot of that, Monica Kirshner and Jenna Whipperforth put together, it's called RISE program. And I think RISE stands for something, but it's escaping me right now.
We won't make anything.
Right. But basically it's intentional programming and projects with high school students, with elementary students, building their social emotional skills, you know, having, you know, we talk about things like eye contact and, you know, conversational skills and working through a project to completion and being proud of that. And so Jenna and Monica have done a fantastic job, and the little kids, like, they love it. In fact, I've had to talk to a couple high school kids, like, you know, they're gone from time to time. And I'm like, can you be gone a different day? Like, don't be gone on that day, because those little kids are just like, oh, you know, they're sad. And they always get paired up with somebody else, but their buddy is their buddy. So, and Mrs. Kitzenbull, she right before, right at the end of football, she kind of speared up reading buddies again and got the football, volleyball, basketball team, the players to come in and read books to the kids. And that was fun, you know, because we also, whenever there's a high school celebration, a pep rally per se, it's not as like we used to do, Phil, although Miss Durkin's bringing back the, you know, the class yell again. But
2000, how do you do it now? 2000,
I don't know.
2024.
It was always explained to us, the seniors always won. Well, they're more mature in their voice. Don't give me that baloney.
But we do, so we celebrate, like, what? So when, if we're, they're having a pep rally for sending cross-country kids to state, or when football was doing well, or when WEHA was going to state, Mary Beth Behrens, our band director this year, and Wade McCoy, who's leading our choirs, you know, they'll get the drum corps going and march the halls, and the elementary get in line, and we cheer. And so it's part of that whole school thing that I really get, I really like, because it, to me, we're a family, right? So we're immediate and extended. So, you know, you got things going on that we accept each other, however we are, but we also have ups and downs, just like families do. We help people, you know, I often see, especially the TAs, teaching assistants that are more familiar with elementary, you know, if a kid's coming down the hallway to come see me in elementary, one of the TAs might, hey, I'll go with you, you know, and just that sense of awareness and care, and, you know, it all ties into our school safety, which I'm very proud of Paul and Julie, Heather Deidelhoff, the team that are leading our safety, that's really important. There's so many good things, Phil. Like, awesome. Super good things.
Good to hear. And a new staff member or two along the way.
Yes, Myra!
That leads us to our guest in the studio, first-time guest, Mrs. Myra Masters. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing fantastic.
Awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself and your upbringing.
Well, first, I would like to introduce myself. My name is Myra Masters, and I am the Spanish teacher at the Ithaca School. I am graduate of education from the University of Cuba, and I have been living in the United States for 24 years. In 2021, we decided to move to Wisconsin. I lived 14 years in North Carolina, working in factories because I did not know English, and going to school at night to improve my lifestyle. Then I moved to Florida, where I work for hospice as a CNA, helping families and patients during those difficult times. You know, hospice, they, you know, it's very short term for the patients.
Sure. So that's quite a diverse background. So how did you get into teaching then? Was this something that was always a goal, or did it just kind of happen for you?
Well, once I graduated in Cuba in the university, I worked at the university there for 2 years. And 2 years after that, as the director of a basic secondary school, which is very different from the education in this country, let me tell you. Because in Cuba, we do not have the resources that we have here. There are not calculators, computers, cell phones, very few books. So you are forced to use your brain and creativity as a teacher. It's not like here at all. So it was very different if you compare United States to Cuba, for example.
You had to make your own curriculum is what I'm
hearing. Absolutely. You don't have calculators, you don't have computers, you don't have to do, you have to do everything manually.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And you taught strictly in Spanish then?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. English is second language for me, and Spanish is the first language for me.
What's your third language?
Russian.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. This is interesting.
How did that come about?
Yeah. Well, in Cuba, we were forced to learn Russian because the relation by then with the Russian, you know. Mm-hmm. So English, you know, not too much. So.
And Russian is so easy to learn.
Oh, sure.
That's one of the toughest to learn,
yeah, right?
Isn't it?
And English too, though.
English is tough.
Can you tell?
Well, English is tough because of all of the slang we have.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. So in 2021, we decided to move to Wisconsin to be able to take care of my father-in-law. During these years, I worked as a manager for a small company until I decided and understood that what I really like is working as a teacher. That's what I was doing in Cuba. I applied for my Wisconsin teaching license and started working at the Ithaca School, and it's where I feel happier than ever. Not only because of the profession I practice as a teacher, but I also because of the school staff who are very good, and everyone cares about the well-being of the students. That's the main point.
Awesome. This day and age, learning another language is so important. And learning Spanish is very important. What a lifetime skill for the students that you teach, I think. Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely. Learning a second language is not easy at all. but it's very beneficial. For example, it helps with memory, concentration, and clarity of mind. Not only that, but also with creative thinking. You can learn multiple languages because your brain is prepared for that. And especially for the future when applying for the professional jobs. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
This also plays into, I think, one of the ways we grow our school districts in the area is not by homogenous folks who are born here, but by folks who have come in to fill our labor void. And I have the example, I really wish I knew more Spanish. Myra and I were talking about this the other day.
Yes.
And my Spanish is not good, but yet I employ two ladies who don't know much English. And the translation between the two of us, I hope it's working. And it typically does, and they're awesome, and they've got patience, and I have patience. But boy, I wish I wish I had conversational Spanish. I'm bad. It's not good.
So I'm going to interject because my girls, thankfully, we had Spanish when they were going through. Both then continued and got a certificate or minor in Spanish in their colleges. And yeah, the opportunities that they have because they are, and they're true, they're not bilingual by any means, but financially, as a professional, that the ability to speak a second language and in this area or in New York, right? To be able to speak Spanish fluently allows you to more opportunity for career choices. It puts people above others because if you are bilingual and you have that dual language, even if you're not 100% conversationally proficient, that puts you above others in the job market, and it's very important. And I'm so excited for Myra. One thing she has done for me as an elementary principal is how open and enthusiastic she is for meeting my students and how comfortable she makes the students and their families feel.
Thank you. How accommodating
she is for staff. Spur of the moment, I need assistance. She's right there. She's always willing to help. And her drive for getting these kids to do that is wonderful. Like, mm-hmm. I've seen it, her just in passing, I don't like watch all the time, but and how passionate she is about it and the high expectations and the work ethic that she's instilling. Like, yeah, we're work, we practice, do this, very intentional. So I'm very excited and thankful that she's joined the Ithaca family.
Yeah.
How are the students doing? I mean, are they pretty receptive to this?
I have a great satisfaction with my students. When I see them speaking and practicing Spanish in all areas of the school, it doesn't matter where, because it is clear that they want to learn, and based on the results of the exams, they have learned a lot. We do various activities, not only in the class. We play games like Scrabble. They love that game. We use in the Scrabble game to look for Spanish words, and it's a challenge for them. So that's a great activity for them.
That's interesting.
We going to the gym. We just dance. We just jump with everything. We sing. We interact with sports as well. The interaction with the student has been great. I think they like it and they love it. It has been a wonderful experience working at Ithaca, not only with the students, but also with the other teachers and staff in general, who have been very welcoming and professional all the time, helping me with everything I have needed.
Well, we're giving out compliments, too. I wanted to compliment you on, they recorded some referendum commercials leading up to the referendum, and you had one in Spanish, and I'm thinking, man, she's got a future in radio right
there. Oh, there you go. I can work here as a part-time.
No, she doesn't. She needs to be at Ithaca.
Part-time, she said.
I would like to use this moment to tell the community that the students and I have a fundraiser.
Oh.
So for the Ithaca School Spanish Club to be able to visit another country or region within the United States so they can get to know and interact with the Spanish speaking culture so they can practice what they have learned.
Yeah.
So I would like to use this moment to tell the community that if anyone wants and can donate to this Spanish club for these students, I will really appreciate it for the travel expenses. They can go to the school or over here,
mm-hmm.
and that will be really, really good because these students, they are so motivated and they're trying very hard,
yeah.
and they're learning a lot, so...
I believe
if it's possible.
What you're looking at for a trip, Myra, is extremely important in the educational
yes.
process. Terry and I have traveled to Latin American countries, and it just the difference of range of Spanish is interesting. We go to Puerto Rico, and I think, oh, I can speak Spanish. And then we go to Nicaragua, and it's like, I have no idea what they're saying. It
absolutely.
And I think it's part of in the brain switching a switch that when you're in the culture, you learn more too. It's different that when you're there and you feel the energy and the culture, for some reason, I become more conversational in my Spanish to where something, a switch flips and I get it or I can understand enough that, oh, okay, this is what's, yeah, here's what we're doing. So I, and for children, you know, high school age to learn and have that experience at that age, right?
Yes.
Very important.
Yes. Yes.
So people can donate. Are you going to be doing some special fundraisers or anything
we
like that?
We are selling now butter braids.
Ah, butter braids.
Yes,
butter I'm braids. In. I'm in.
Where do we sign
so,
up?
Yes, so, yeah, we're going to try every single thing as possible because, to you know, for the trip, we need a lot of money.
Right.
Because some students can afford a passport. We are living difficult times. So every kind of help. Good it luck. Will be appreciated.
Good luck with that. That's an awesome thing.
Do you have a case price on those? Do you get a discount if you order in big volumes?
No. No, I'm sorry. You're not special.
Not even a school board member.
That's right.
Discount there.
We can even take them to Miami. Hey, there's more Cubans there than in Cuba.
Yeah.
True.
But yeah, of course. We don't know where to go yet, but of course we are thinking to take these students to Spanish mm-hmm. culture
and possibly stay with families in those communities and whatnot.
Maybe not, but you know everything is possible. Mm-hmm. For now, is to you just get right. The money going.
Oh, good. Well,
and now we like to taste something in Espanol for those Spanish speakers.
Yeah.
So. Nosotros, la comunidad de Ithaca, la escuela de Ithaca, queremos que a todos los estudiantes que hablen español, a todos aquellos padres, madres que se encuentran en una situación que no quieren mandar a los estudiantes a la escuela, por favor, son bienvenidos a la escuela de Ithaca. Por favor, vayan a la escuela de Ithaca, que estamos allí para recibirlos y serán muy, muy bienvenidos. What I'm saying is everybody that feels fear or doesn't have a fear to send the students to the school, Ithaca, they are welcome them, and we are there to help them, and we have a great, great staff in that school.
See,
that's not what my translation was, Phil. I heard please and more.
Yeah, that's. I heard a couple words I knew. That's awesome. Anything else anybody would like to add this morning?
Marty? Just unrelated, quite honestly, but part of community. I just remind folks that there is a free opportunity tonight to see one of the classics, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, mm-hmm. at the Center Cinema at 7 o'clock. It doesn't cost you a dime. But Terry and I always say, you know, our daughters and our family abandon us, and one lives in Washington, D.C., the other two live in Washington, Spokane, Washington. I don't know why they moved as far away from us as they possibly could. I'll do a study on that, but that used to be a family tradition, so we're keeping that alive in the community. This is our third year of doing that, where we sponsor the free Planes, Trains, and Automobiles movie, and we've noticed the first 2 years it gained steam. You know, by the second year, it's like, oh, there's more taking advantage. So all you have to do is buy your own popcorn, you're good to go.
Awesome. That's tonight.
A lot of classic lines, too.
Oh, I love that movie. It's a great Thanksgiving movie.
It is.
Center Cinema tonight. Well, thanks, everyone, for coming in today.
Phil, thanks for having us.
You bet.
Appreciate coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for the invitation. I have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, same
happy
to you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
How quickly it's going. We're past the first quarter into the it'll be semester before too long.
I know.
Thanks to our guests from Ithaca Schools today, Marty Richards from the school board, Kathleen Shane, elementary principal and district curriculum director, and it was great to meet Mrs. Myra Masters, who's the Spanish teacher now at Ithaca Schools.
This Friday is your last chance for Black Friday savings at Town & Country TV & Appliance in Reedsburg and Richland Center. Save hundreds on a brand new line of ranges from Whirlpool featuring air fry technology. Get a dishwasher safe air fry basket free with purchase of these new ranges. Now's the time to schedule delivery of your new range, refrigerator, or laundry. Find previous model year closeouts in both stores, 206 East Main Street, Reedsburg, or 2490 Highway 14, Richland Center, and Town & Country RC.com.
Looking for an exciting career opportunity with a world leader in coated glass for residential windows and doors? Look no further than Cardinal CG. They're hiring for all shifts, including production positions, with the potential to earn up to $29 an hour. Enjoy up to 6 weeks of time off per year and start earning vacation hours on your